Welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. We're going to take your phone calls this hour. In the third hour, talk about the dropping of the case against the hero doctor who refused to vaccinate his patients. Very excited to talk about that. We're going to talk about leftist violence here, as this story is not these stories, really, have not been getting the coverage they deserve of these, you know, pockets of Antifa domestic terrorists literally attacking and assaulting ICE agents, planting bombs and doing all sorts of other very predictable things. We have a lot more to talk about. We'll move on from Epstein. We'll take your calls on the topic, of course. But first, here's Alex Jones and his breakdown on from his show yesterday. Let's watch.
So you got Mossad and the British intelligence still really trying to do heavy influencing. Mossad is the dominant one. And so I've always said China was the big intelligence threat. And it still has the biggest reach, the most money, you know, big problem. But right now, targeting in the Trump administration, because all the connections they have, Israel's really trying a soft coup in the Trump administration, Netanyahu is. So that's a big issue that's pissing people off as well. I think the jury is still out on what's going on with the Trump administration. We know the Israelis are pushing in because the Democrats are in collapse. The Democrats found a lot of their operatives, because Trump actually vetted people this time. They don't have the big influence they had before. Trump basically walked in and half his administration were Democrat deep state operatives. The others were just, you know, either ignorant or scared, and a few were good, and they got rid of them like Bannon and Flynn and targeted his outside supporters that were spotlighting him. Now, there's very few Democrats, high level and globalists, that haven't been kicked out. But Israel's its own very sophisticated operative group. So is British intelligence. The CHICOMs, really with the Democrats, they're losing control. So you got Mossad and the British intelligence still really trying to do heavy influencing. Mossad is the dominant one. And so I've always said China was the big intelligence threat. And it still has the biggest reach, the most money, you know, big problem. But right now, targeting in the Trump administration, because all the connections they have, Israel's really trying a soft coup in the Trump administration, Netanyahu is. So that's a big issue that's pissing people off as well. And again, I don't hate Israel, hate, you know, any of that, but they don't want us coming over there running their country. So it's illegal, it's wrong, it's, you know, needs to stop. They're trying to drag us into full war with Iran. So Trump is right that the file, everything left is the Democrats' file. So, I mean, how would you trust anything that they brought forward? I've always said that, you know, how do we trust what we're even being given? Where are all the hard drives? Where are all the stuff? You know, I don't want to hear some list. I want all of it out there. But the decision's been made. It's such a fiasco. Trump's like, move on. Because whatever they've left the files, he's now officially said, is another fraud like everything else we've seen. And it's true. So I'm not here to obfuscate. I'm not here to cover up for Trump. I'm not here to be an apologist. I've been nothing but more upset. But now this has really set me into another train of thought. I want to know what you think below, but this is a big deal.
So that is the video from Alex Jones. Netanyahu is trying a soft coup in the Trump administration. Alex Jones reports how Israel's Mossad is the dominant intelligence agency targeting President Trump. That, again, you can find and share on X at Real Alex Jones. And I think the coup happened a long time ago. I think they're trying to maintain the status quo. And again, this is all very like cloak and dagger stuff. Like, there's still a lot of debate of whether Trump even really likes Netanyahu or not. I mean, they have a lot of reasons not to like each other. They'll share a video that calls, you know, Netanyahu a warmongering bastard. This is absolutely true. And then he's out there saying Benjamin Netanyahu is the greatest human being alive right now. And they're nominating each other for Nobel Peace Prizes. There's obviously deeper games being played here. And there are, you know, interweaving plots that we're only seeing a glimpse of, like the tip of the iceberg. And I think the major outcome of this, whether intended by Trump or not, is that the awakening to the Israeli occupation of the American government is exploding as we speak.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I still got a lot of videos to show you. I'm going to open up the lines for your phone calls. This hour, we'll be joined by Ed Zoll in the next hour. It's hard to even know how to confront this story. Because there's so much, I mean, it really isn't an info war that we're fighting. There's so much that just has to do with perspective on all of this. So I'm reading the story from the New York Times. It came out this morning. Biden says he made the clemency decisions that were recorded with AutoPen. And this whole article is very clearly presenting information from a certain direction. And at a certain point, I almost don't know what to do because, I mean, when they're saying that there's no Epstein list, it's just like, what are we even doing here? Is this just a psychological power play where they're just doing it because they can to show us that they can? I mean, at a certain point, there's got to be something underlying this maneuver. So I'm reading this New York Times article, and the whole thing is predicated on this assumption, this belief, this assertion that Trump is vindictive and is using the powers of the government to just get revenge. And that's the only reason he's doing anything. And the question is, what is the evidence for that? Is there any? Now, there is just infinite evidence, just more examples than I can even remember of the Democrats being ridiculously vindictive and partisan with their usage of lawfare. I mean, they've charged Trump with like 15 different things, not a single one of which had any validity whatsoever. Everything that they tried to charge him with either had no standing or they had to change the rules. I mean, the fact that they went out of their way to upgrade a misdemeanor to a felony and dismiss and, you know, get rid of the expiration date of being able to charge these things. Charging him on behalf of banks that themselves said we were not, you know, tricked, nothing. Trump didn't do anything to us. And so, you know, I'm reading this whole article, and the whole thing is just framed in that perspective, as if it's just understood and widely acknowledged and just a fact that Trump is vindictive and will use the powers of government unlawfully just to get his own personal revenge, just to gratify himself. Because nothing Republicans ever do is actually for the sake of the country or for prosperity or for the benefit of the people. Everything is just because Republicans as a whole, and Trump in particular, are driven by just an animalistic impulse to connive. You know, it's just like, it's just absurd. It's just absurd. What if it actually matters that the president for 4 years was completely incompetent? What if Trump is pursuing justice and not revenge? Can they even imagine a world in which kind of a big deal that the president of the United States was completely incapable of serving in that office, and that the decisions on behalf of the president were made without his knowledge and by a bunch of people who we don't even know the names of? What if that was actually a thing you should be concerned about? I think that's why it's almost like we'll get into this because it's a big story and people are going to want to know about it and going to want to know the truth around it, but part of me just wants to pull out and just pull back and take a bird's eye view and just go, what are the psychological manipulations going on here and how do they go on everywhere? I've got a video that I think can kind of illustrate this. And as cheesy or as like cliche as it sounds, I don't think we would be in this condition, in this set of circumstances, if people just thought for themselves. Just, you really, I don't know why people can't do this. And it's bizarre. And it's like, it's almost like it's a characteristic that if you have it, you're a real human being. And if you don't have it, you're not. I don't know if this makes any sense. I'll show you the video. But there's just a condition that most and a vast majority of people are in where they're just subjects. They don't have free will, honestly. I think you'll see what I mean when I show this video. They are enslaved by the conditions that they find themselves in. They are enslaved by the thoughts of others put into their minds. And all it takes to break this slavery, all it takes to shatter these chains is deliberate cognitive exercise. That's all it takes. So like reading this article about Joe Biden, and the whole thing is predicated and relies on the idea that Trump is vindictive, that the fear that he will use his authority to just go after his political enemies, that's just assumed and accepted and treated like an established fact. All it takes is consciousness for anybody reading this article to say, but what if that wasn't the case? What if Trump isn't vindictive and isn't going to use his power unlawfully against his political enemies for no reason? What if Trump is being sincere? And then this whole article just doesn't make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense. And the obvious, you know, analogy to make or whatever would be to say, like, if you've got some guy that complains about being targeted, he says he's targeted for harassment by the local police. You talk to him and like he can convince you, this whole thing's predicated on, I didn't do anything wrong. And the cops just park cars outside of my house and they'll turn on their lights in the middle of the night and just blares into my bedroom, and they know it does, and they'll even shine a spotlight on my bedroom window, and they'll, you know, follow me to work. And it's like, oh my God, the police, you know, chief of police must like have something against you. And this guy who's being stalked and harassed by the police might tell you this sob story, and you're totally on his side. And it's like, but what if he killed people? But what if that guy had bodies in his basement? Would you take anything that this guy said seriously? Or would it reframe the entire conversation in your mind? So, like, what if, stick with me here, what if it's illegal for unelected bureaucrats to be wielding the auto pen without the president's approval? And what if that was actually happening? Isn't that a gigantic major deal? And shouldn't you want to get to the bottom of that? So again, it's not even about this topic or this article or the dishonest way that even the headline, Biden says he made the clemency decisions that were recorded with auto pen. All right, so all of the assertions that are embedded in that is that, first of all, it's an assertion that Biden would tell the truth about this. Like, he's not massively inclined and you know, there's plenty of reasons for him to not want this to be true, right? They don't mention that. They don't mention the motive he might have to lie about this. But it's framed that Biden is the one responding. He's the one that's being attacked. He's the one that, you know, requires defense. Poor, innocent Biden. But also that these clemency decisions were legitimate and that, sure, they may have been signed with the auto pen, but that's not the thing that matters. The thing that matters is that, you know, Biden approved them in the first place. So you go line by line and sort of dissect the rhetorical methods or the embedded assumptions throughout this article. But I really do think it's more about like a spiritual and, in reality, like intellectual and cognitive decision that you have to make, that every American makes on a daily basis, whether to put any thought into what they believe or whether they just say things. Are you just saying things? Are you just listening and believing, or are you applying the incredible intelligence that you were gifted with? You can read and write. You have a gift of intelligence that should be used and utilized and not just be allowed to be hijacked by people who hate you. We'll go to clip number 6, and hopefully this will all be made clear what the hell I'm talking about here. Clip number 26. Now, this was posted with the title Truth Trap, but it's not. This isn't a trap. This isn't a trap. This is just a test. It's a test on whether or not you're a real human being. Are you a real human being with a soul, with cognition, with free will, or are you not? Are you something else? Let's watch.
This is what we call checkmate. This is so good.
So there was a dress designer that turned down Melania Trump to design her dress. She opted out. Do you think that she has the right to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Do you think it's okay for her to do that?
Yeah.
So if you were, let's say, a Muslim singer here in Madison and a church approached you for an Easter service for you to sing, do you have the right to opt out of that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you have the right to opt out of doing whatever you want.
So let's say you're a Christian photographer here in Madison and someone approached you to do a same-sex wedding. Would that be hateful or discriminatory to opt out of that?
I don't know.
So your political views, your ideas and kind of worldview is okay to say no to business, but your religious views aren't?
No.
Honestly, have they never thought about, like, I don't understand how these people exist, how they live. They've never thought about that. They've never even once thought to transpose the word Muslim for Christian and ask if they still believe what they believe. They're not human. Like, they're, and slave isn't even the right word. It's more like their minds are taken over by a parasite. Like, they're like one of the ants that has a fungus instead of a mind and is just being controlled, like their body is being controlled against their will. And again, I think this relates to everything that we're talking about here, because the place where this hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is all it really is, and it's just like a stupidity. Again, I don't want to just call people stupid, but like, you're sitting there going, hey, is it okay for Muslims to refuse business? And they're like, yeah, of course. Is it okay for Christians to refuse business? Oh, what? I never even thought of, I don't know if it is or not. It's like, are you a complete moron? Are you a complete idiot? You've never thought about that. Of course, the actual answer to what's going on here is they have been indoctrinated with a nonsensical, internally inconsistent set of beliefs that require acceptance of extreme cognitive dissonance. They have never once, people, thought about the difference between a Christian not wanting to participate in a same-sex marriage and a Muslim not wanting to participate in Easter. They've never once thought, gee, if this person has the belief, shouldn't this other person? It's never occurred to them. Because they've been, and again, I don't even know how to like explain this, but it's just like these things have been implanted in their heads that they've never questioned and that they've never once even, not like questioned, but like investigated or considered. And these things are all like, it's what motivates and defines and what determines all of like what America as a culture, as a government does. Like, people have never thought about the fact that there's a difference of the way different religions are treated or different identities are treated. Never occurred to them that Christians should have the same rights as Muslims, because it's embedded into their subconscious through decades of propaganda from the media, from the news, from TV shows and movies. And because they're unconscious, because they are not aware or awake or cognizant or able to actually apply critical thinking to the world around them, they've never once questioned why white Christian men are always the bad guys in every movie. Never occurred to them. They just accept it. And it's not just like, oh, they just demonize white people. It's like, no, this idea has been embedded in their head that like Christians are evil. Now, if you ask them, do you think Christians are evil? They wouldn't say yes. They'd say, no, I don't think Christians are evil. They don't even know what they think. That's the point, right? They don't even understand their own mind. Because when they're presented with a circumstance, their reaction to that circumstance is dependent on whether it's a Christian or a Muslim in the subject line. And they don't realize that they've been programmed to believe that Christians do not have a right to their beliefs. They have been programmed. Their actual belief in effect and in actuality, when they go to vote or, you know, when they argue with their friends, their belief, whether they know it or not, is that Christians do not have the right to religion in this country. They should be and are denied that, rightfully so, because their beliefs are evil and they hurt other people. Now, even if that belief is exactly the same or even more moderate than the Muslim belief, they haven't been programmed to believe that about Muslims, so they don't. It's not a conscious decision on their part. They aren't humans. They're animals. They're mud. They're automatons. And they should be embarrassed and they should be ashamed. And it's a choice they're making to be automatons. Not a difficult question to ask. Would I think the same thing if this was Christians? Would I think the same thing if this was Jews? Would I have the same stance I have about a spy ring being, you know, controlled by a foreign government if it was any government other than Israel? How is it that in the subconscious of the American mind, so many of these little delineations have been established that people don't even realize that they are perpetuating themselves? Christians, bad. White people, bad. White people being collective, bad. Conservatives, bad. The past, bad. Muslim, good. Jewish, good. Like, these are just, they've been established and they dictate people's views, and they've never thought to question these underlying premises. And again, I think that relates to the Biden story, in that they just frame it again, just this assumption, this propagandized, established fact in the liberal mind that just has no connection with reality. That, and again, this is why I don't even want to talk about this one article. This is the pervasive issue with everything. That they establish these supposed facts that they then reinforce over and over and over again, towards a point to where it's to a point that people like can't even contend with the suggestion of reality. The thing I'm thinking about now is the transgender kids. There's never been any proof or even suggestion that there exists proof that mutilating children would improve their mental health. It's an absurd statement. It's absurd on the face of it. They've never presented proof of their assertion. They just decided it was the truth one day, and they just shoved that down everybody's throat, to the point that now, if you don't want, you know, your daughter having to race against men on the track or change with men in the locker room, then it's assumed that you are therefore in favor of and helping to perpetuate genocide against trans people because you refuse to acknowledge their existence and therefore want them to die, and you don't care if they kill themselves. You're actually for that. And it's like, but have you ever questioned the underlying assumption? Have you ever asked them to prove their assertion that mutilating a kid helps? Like, and this is what I mean. It's just whether it's the, you know, Trump is vindictive and he's going to use the power of the government to go after his enemies. And then they act on that assertion, right? Then what they do in pleading the fifth or hiring lawyers to try to, you know, fight Trump or, you know, impose these injunctions with the judges to stop Trump, it's all predicated on this baseless assumption that he is going to use the power of the government to be a fascist. And it's just like, have you never questioned these underlying assumptions? Have you never asked yourself and just interrogated your own belief system? Never occurred to you to do that. It's never once occurred to you that saying Muslims can reject same-sex weddings, but Christians can't, that might make you kind of a hypocrite. You've never interrogated your own beliefs to even the shallowest degree. And anybody that's thought about that, it would not be hard. You know, come interview me. Do you believe that Muslims should be able to not participate in same-sex weddings? Yes, of course they should. They have a freedom of religion. They shouldn't be forced to do anything that contradicts their religion. Well, do you believe that Christians should? Yes, they shouldn't have to do anything that contradicts their religion. Like, if you don't have the same answer to those two questions, you're not a human being. I'm sorry to tell you this. You should not be able to vote. You should not be allowed to have children. You should have the humility to recognize that you are incapable of expressing your opinion on anything, and that it would be irresponsible for you to pretend like you have a viewpoint on anything. And well, I'll get to the headlines on the other side. Just think, if people could just think for themselves and just ask like one or two questions about their fundamental beliefs.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs. It embroils America into something that could last a decade. Like, he knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all. Dealers are created equal, not our brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate, zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion and do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right, only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm going to open up phone lines for your calls, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call, 1-877-789-2539. Let me just, we'll just finish up with this New York Times article about Biden, where they spend the first half of the article laying the groundwork, prepping the reader through rhetorical manipulation to see this entire conflict as poor, innocent, upstanding genius Joe Biden defending himself and his poor, innocent family from the contrivances of fascist Trump, who because of Biden's, you know, decent debate performance last year, you know, apparently now is this crazy conspiracy theory about Joe Biden. So they spent the first half of the article sort of laying that groundwork, framing the article in that way, only to then admit, essentially, that, yeah, Biden was not aware of what he was signing, of what was being signed on his behalf, that the auto pen was used to sign things that Joe Biden had no knowledge of and had not seen at least the updated versions of. At the end of the term, Mr. Biden reduced the sentence of nearly 4,000 federal convicts and preemptively pardoned politically prominent people he considered potential targets of Mr. Trump for criminal investigations. Again, it's just all so backwards. I don't think there's such a thing as preemptive pardon. I just don't think that is legally a concept that is real. And if it is, you can just assert that you think that the next president is likely going to be vindictive, or how did they put it? Have potential targets of Mr. Trump for criminal investigations. So you can just say, because I think that this person is going to act, in a partisan way and weaponize the Justice Department, I therefore am going to pardon people, even though I have no proof that Trump's criminal investigations are politically motivated. It's just built on this assumption that's just an assertion that just has no proof, and they just say it, which is why they spend the whole first part of the article acting like that's a legitimate, frame of mind. Mr. Biden said in Thursday's interview that he had his staff use an auto pin for the warrants because he had granted clemency to so many people. The auto pin was used in all on 25 pardons and commutation warrants from last December to January. Some of the individual warrants included large batches of names because they all fell into the same broad policy category, like reducing the sentence of nonviolent drug offenders who met standards Mr. Biden established. Mr. Trump and his congressional allies are focused in particular on trying to delegitimize Mr. Biden's final batch of clemency actions. Focus on trying to delegitimize. Nobody's trying to delegitimize anything. They are not legitimate. They are not legitimate. Nobody's trying to delegitimize anything. They aren't legitimate. And that's being exposed by the evidence of Biden's own operatives. So he gave this 10-minute interview, I guess, in which the Times requested, as part of its reporting on the investigations, Mr. Biden have shielded those people along with members of his family so they would not have to run up large legal bills from politically motivating investigations by the Trump Justice Department. Again, we know that the Biden administration did launch a great number of politically motivated investigations against Donald Trump for the sole intent and purpose of driving up his legal bills, distracting him, preventing him from, mounting a campaign in 2024, and just to imprison him and send a message to any American who attempted to defeat the deep state that we will destroy you whether or not you've done anything wrong. That has happened. That did happen. There's been no recompense for that. Partly because, this is how backwards it is. They do things that are politically motivated. They completely, abuse their power. Again, it's like we forget that they're... Anyway, it's all just dependent entirely on who's writing the article. It would seem to me like people just had principles. None of this would be an issue if they were actually against the weaponization of the government against political opponents. They would have been against it for Trump. These people don't actually care about anything. They don't actually believe anything. It's all just a scam. Everybody knows how vindictive he is, so we knew what they'd do, what they're doing now, said Mr. Biden. I unconsciously made all those decisions. Everybody knows how vindictive he is. Yeah, just assert that. I don't provide any proof for it. Can't actually defend against it. But you're pardoning Fauci and Mark Milley for crimes they've never been even accused of. This just makes no sense. Just none of this makes any sense. White House counsel Ed Siskel on October 30th, 2024, notified his senior staff to expect a flood of lobbying for clemency grants in the administration's end and laid out a process for an orderly review. The final step, he wrote, the president makes the final decision on the final pardon and or commutation state. Over the next 3 months, Biden made four major sets of clemency actions that were recorded with an auto pin. The emails received by the Times included discussions about all four batches. Three applied to broad categories of people. He reduced the sentences of inmates sent to home confinement during the pandemic and certain nonviolent drug offenders. The emails reflect the White House activity surrounding each of these tranches, including the dates of the meetings at which White House officials indicate Mr. Biden made decisions and names of the senior aides in attendance. They also showed that the use of AutoPen was managed by Mr. Biden's White House staff secretary, Ms. Feldman. She wanted to receive written accounts confirming Mr. Biden's oral instructions in the meeting before having it used to produce the warrants recording the clemency actions email show. The aides refers to those written accounts of the meetings at which Biden delivered oral decisions as blurbs. These accounts were drafted by aides to the senior advisors who participated in the key meetings, like Biden's chief of staff, Jeffrey D. Zients, and Mr. Siskel. The assistants who drafted the blurbs were not themselves in the room with Mr. Biden, according to the list of meeting participants. The email implied that Mr. Siskel and Mr. Zients relayed what Mr. Biden had said to the assistants, who then documented it. Okay, so it was Siskel and Zients that were Zients. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, nor do I want to. For the earlier sets of large-scale clemency actions, the process sometimes took several days after the meeting with Mr. Biden. For two crucial meetings at the end of his term, it took place on the same days. They say Mr. Biden did not individually approve each name for the conditional pardons applied to the large number of people. He and aides instead just did whole batches. Even after Mr. Biden made the decision, one former aide said, the Bureau of Prisons kept providing additional information about specific inmates, resulting in small changes to the list. Rather than ask Mr. Biden to keep signing revised versions, his staff waited and then ran the final version through the auto pen, which they saw as a routine procedure. That's what I mean. New York Times just writes this article as if this is normal. As if what I just read is totally standard and doesn't just completely confirm everything the Republicans have been saying. So they spend the first half of the article framing Donald Trump as vindictive and the concern about Joe Biden's auto pen use as a Republican conspiracy theory that's motivated by purely partisanship and, tyranny because the Republicans just hate Joe Biden and are just making things up to try to get him with. Spend the first half of the article laying out that, and then the second half of the article just confirming that everything the Republicans are saying is absolutely true. Yeah, they got the oral approval of Joe Biden, just, not from him directly. What? Yeah, they got, they didn't get, okay, so he didn't sign it, sure. But he did approve the auto pen being used, except he kind of didn't. We did give the oral permission, according to other people that aren't Joe Biden. But he absolutely, approved of the list, only he didn't see them before they were signed. Okay, so ignoring all of the rhetoric, ignoring all of the framing, looking at just the facts presented here, outside of the, again, very sophisticated and well-constructed manipulation of the New York Times, the facts actually in this article and just the facts say that, Joe Biden's assistants and aides used the auto pen to affix Joe Biden's signature to documents he had never seen and had no knowledge of. So, you would think that these people were even remotely ingenuous about their beliefs and their concerns and their entire worldview, then the title of this article would be something like Joe Biden confirms aides' use of auto pen without his knowledge. Instead, it presents literally the exact opposite of that, with the headline saying that actually Joe Biden was in charge. Biden says he made clemency decisions that were recorded with auto pen, by the fact that in the article itself, it says, yeah, they kept changing the list and did not present it to Biden before they signed it with the auto pen. More quotes. 3 minutes later, Mr. Zients hit reply all and wrote, I approve the use of auto pen for the execution of all of the following pardons. You're not saying Biden does. He said, I do. I approve the use of auto pen to sign these clemencies. And again, you've got the White House doctor who made the statements about Biden's cognitive decline taking the Fifth Amendment. So there was criminal activity. So there must have been some sort of criminal activity. I'll take your calls now. Let's go out to Nanny in Puerto Rico. Nanny in Puerto Rico. Thank you so much for calling.
Good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
You know, kind of what you were just talking about, the auto pen ties into a little bit about what I want to get into, like the disheartening aspect of Trump's failure with this Epstein stuff. Well, I put it more on Bondi, but his statements defending her and playing it off as if he didn't even know about, like, people are still talking about this guy. Absolutely absurd. But he cashed in all of his political capital, I feel like, trying to protect her and get past this. Now when it comes to the auto pen situation, where are you going to go? Then they can have this grounds to say, you know, he's only choosing certain things that he wants to go after. And that, you know, there's the claims of him being involved with Epstein and whatnot and all this. But now it's kind of shining light that maybe, you know, what if, you know? And the whole point about what I think is a big difference between this leftist cultist mentality and the Make America Great movement is that on the right, the Make America Great movement, we want people to be held accountable. It's the right thing to do. If that leaves us with the black eye, that doesn't matter. It's about doing what's right. We can't stand for these sexual crimes against children or really any person. But we're just sweeping things under the rug at whoever's behest, and it's not what we voted for. We wanted a chance for a clean slate, and it's completely falling apart.
Yep, I completely agree. And you know, I do worry about, you know, Steve Bannon said that he predicts that without releasing the Epstein files, the Republicans will lose 30 to 40 seats in the midterms. We're rapidly approaching the midterms. And like, in a way, I understand it because Trump, like, I understand why he'd be frustrated that, like, he's expecting, like, the big, beautiful bill gets passed and it's July 4th and he's expecting to, like, be lauded and celebrated. And instead, everybody's pissed at him about Epstein. I'm sure he really, you know, was working hard to get the big bill passed, and then nobody gives a damn about it because of what's going on with Epstein. I understand why he'd be frustrated a little bit at that, but it's a completely self-inflicted wound. It is completely the fault of Trump and his administrators who, you know, kept making this an issue, kept making promises that they failed to deliver on. And again, this is the heart of the problem with America. We can't get anything done. We can't get anything for us. We are not in charge. Trump's not in charge. And that's, you know, what's being exposed here. So I completely agree with you. I think it's incredibly disturbing, you know, how much we're sacrificing to keep the Epstein files under wraps. It's just absurd. So what do you think you should do?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I'm just thinking about that. Like, I hope that we see, like, J.D. Vance put to, like, lead the charge on this, and he establishes the people to start maybe working on a special counsel or whatever. But I think we need to get J.D. Vance or somebody with equal credibility and, like, that same drive that's going to follow through and actually accomplish something on. Maybe, you know, maybe they're task saturated. Maybe they're divided on too many different aspects between the border, between the economy. Bondi's fighting off, you know, Supreme Court stuff here left and right. So maybe if we can kind of put somebody on the side that's going to focus on this and feed us updates rather than it coming from Trump.
Yeah. Well, I think you're again, the point about that we're not the left, that we aren't doing this for political ends. Like, if the Epstein files have Trump in them, guess what? We still want them released. Guess what? We still want them released. Like, we don't care. We actually just want the truth. We actually just want justice. And again, it's just like, are they not ashamed? To me, again, the thing that stands out is Jamie Raskin. That Jamie Raskin never says anything about Epstein until Trump says, hey, we're not releasing the Epstein files. You know, get over it. This is old news. And then suddenly they're putting forward bills and going, we have to release the Epstein files. We're not going to let Trump get away with this cover up. And it's like, are you not ashamed of your just naked partisanship, your naked, just obvious and apparent to everybody dishonesty, disingenuousness? that you've never cared about the girls that were taken advantage of, never cared about the blackmail implications, never cared about the cover-up and the intelligence agencies, but the instant that you think it might be useful to go against Trump, suddenly you're out there going, we've got to release the files. They must be released. I will stand on this. We'll not let him get away. And it's like, you despicable scum. You're just scum. You really are. And the left is scum, and the people on the right trying to distract us from this, they're just scum. They really are. And they I don't think they understand that we're just not scum. I think you're right about that, that like we just want truth. We just want justice. That really is genuinely what drives us. But just like, you know, Republicans can't just the mainstream media will never treat any Republican concern as legitimate, even when they agree with the concern. They just will downplay it or act like, well, this is a concern. But the reason you're concerned about it is because you're dishonest and evil. And it's I don't know what to do because we're just being honest. We're just telling the truth. We're just trying to get justice. And these people are it's such an anathema. It's such a bizarre concept to them. They can't even, you know, understand that mindset. And then they try to project it on us. Like I think it was Gunther Eagleman is his name on X. And, you know, right in the middle of all the Epstein stuff, he puts out a say, he goes, and just like that, nobody's talking about the auto pen. It's like, wait, are you suggesting that the Democrats, in order to distract from Biden's auto pen scandal, somehow tricked Cash Patel and Pam Bondi and Dan Bongino into going on a media tour to talk about the Epstein files and to hide the evidence that they'd been promising for literally years before that and to lie about it blatantly, obviously, to deny the existence of a black book, a client list? You know, say that he committed suicide and that there were no conspirators, despite the fact that all of those things have been well established in, you know, official court proceedings, maybe not the suicide, but certainly the client list and the co-conspirators, that these things were actually necessary to achieve convictions of people like Ghislaine Maxwell, who was convicted of trafficking children. And you can't traffic children without somebody to traffic them to. Like, you really think that this was a distraction by the Democrats? There's not a Democrat involved in this. It involves Cash Patel. It involves Dan Bongino. It involves Donald Trump. It involves Pam Bondi. No Democrat had to do this. You did this to yourselves by being dishonest, by lying, by promising things you couldn't achieve, and by now covering up an Israeli blackmail ring, which just is perfectly in line with everything else that they're willing to do for Israel, even if it's to their own detriment. Even if it, you know, makes it harder to get mass deportations, they have focused on deporting anti-Semites. Even if it is a blatant violation of the First Amendment, the Trump administration is enacting anti-Semitism laws around the country and throughout the government. So time and time again, they're starting wars with Iran. They're allowing Israel to commit genocide. They're threatening the ICC over their conviction of Benjamin Netanyahu. Time and time again, it's been shown that the Trump administration is willing to actually hurt America for the benefit of Israel. And the Epstein files align perfectly with that proclivity. And then they say, oh, this is the Democrats trying to distract from the auto pen scandal. Do you think we're stupid or are you stupid? These are the only possibilities. Again, I just want to reemphasize that they are desperately attempting to frame this as a partisan situation. That what they want in your mind is anytime you hear people talking about Epstein, you think, wow, this is just they're just trying to get Trump and they're just leftists and I'm a MAGA person, so I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to ignore Epstein. They think you're stupid. They think you're stupid and they think that they can trick you into going along with the pervert blackmailing genociders by claiming that you're a leftist if you don't. Just don't fall for it. Just don't fall for it. It's not hard. It's not hard not to fall for it. And just like that, nobody's talking about the auto pen scandal. whose fault is that? And whose fault is it that Elon Musk isn't supporting the Republicans anymore? Whose fault is it? Again, just don't fall for it. And the left shouldn't fall for this either. By the way, the left shouldn't fall for this either. The primary message needs to come out of this is if you're American, you should want to know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. If you're American, you should be against a foreign country, even Israel, having black male spy rings in our country. And if you're American, you should want our government to be in control of Americans and not playing janitor for foreigners. Do not fall for the lie that this is partisan in any way. You're either pro-America or you're trying to cover up Epstein. Let's go to Kim in Wisconsin now. Thank you for the call, Nanny. Let's go to Kim in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harrison. I just am so happy that you're back on the air. I missed you so much that last week, and I'd have to say that you're almost an addiction to me. I just hang on every word. Anyway, I can't compliment you enough. It's like, you know, you're the brightest star out there right now, and for me anyway.
Do go on, sir. No, you're embarrassing me. I thank you very much. I miss being on. What is it about me that you'd say is your fit? No, I'm kidding. But no, I do appreciate it, and I do my best, sir. Thank you.
Oh, okay. It's all true, and it's from the heart. But you know what? One of the things I to go back to, you know, some of the complaints that I've had for, you know, 50 years or so, is that we have too many people in jail in this country. You know, we have too many prisoners, too many people on parole, too many people on supervision. We have too many police. We have a police state, and it's really stifling the country to a great extent. You know, reducing liberty to a great extent, and it's been a complaint that I've had personally for, you know, almost my entire life. It's just amazing the amount of rules and petty rules and taxes and just plain I don't know what you call harassment.
Yeah, methods of control that have to be implemented when you have a population that can't control itself and can't, you know, be respectful of the liberties that they're given, so they take advantage of them and make it worse for everybody. I completely agree, and that is one of those issues that, again, that don't think should be a left or right issue. You hardly hear the right ever talk about it. Unless the only time you hear the right talk about prison conditions is when they get sent to prison. Is when, like, Owen Schroyer gets sent to prison and comes out being like, yeah, we got to do something about this. This is a mess. But unless it's Steve Bannon or, you know, some sort of other political prisoner that the leftists have thrown into jail in the last little while, Republicans don't seem to care about that. But you're right. It's a massive symptom of the underlying incongruity between the laws and the behavior of the people who are supposed to adhere to those laws. Very big issue. I throw welfare into that, too. It's just endless problems.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see... Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? J-Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultra methylene blue USB grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take a, you know,
an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.